Brown.
Yay!
Hi, family. My name is Wykina, and I'm a grateful recovering addict. I first thank the God of my understanding for blessing me to come to another CPRC NA convention. This is my 22nd consecutive one. For those that were blessed to be here last year, I'm grateful we all made it back. And for family where this is your first convention or you're new to Narcotics Anonymous, welcome to an awesome ride and an awesome journey. I thank the convention committee for blessing me with the opportunity. Let me just break honest. When Carlton called me and he gave me the topic, first of all, it was like, oh, Lord, seriously? But the God of my understanding knew that I need to be talking about some stuff in that area. But the real hit was when he told me the time. He said 12 midnight Friday. Now, it's not because I'm at home usually or back at the hotel sleep at midnight. I'm at the dance for real, y'all, holding it down. See, I'm now blessed to be a member of the Half Hundred Club with a couple of years over. So a little dab do me, so I don't hit the dances like I, you know, used to. But every year since I've been coming here, at that Friday night free dance, I'm holding it down about this time. So I'm like, well, dude, can I get another, you know, another slot? And he's like, no. So I was like, okay, so it's obviously meant for me to be here. And, wow, we're talking about the eighth and ninth step with this topic, family. And, of course, before I could get there, I had to do some things before. You know, I'm a native Washingtonian, y'all. I'm an only child. Party started in the late 70s. I was a funketeer. I smoked weed, smoked angel dust, dropped tabs, had fun. Blue light in the basement parties, some in the parks. It was swell. But more importantly, what all of that did was kind of fix something that was broken inside of me. Because as an only child, I had all of the perks or accoutrements that come with that. But there was some ugliness that was under the surface. And I was real insecure and real inadequate. So when I started getting high, all of that stuff fixed me, made me happy, gave me courage, and made life well. So what started out as fun ended up with me shooting dope and shooting coke and smoking crack and drinking and going to jail and becoming homeless and tricking and just a mess. So February of 1990, I got blessed to go to a therapeutic community. And not because I felt like I was really that bad, because my disease allows me to look at the sister that's doing a little worse than me and identify out and say, well, dang, at least I'm not as bad as she is. And that kind of encourages me or gives me what I need to stay in the insanity. But once again, the God of my understanding doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. So I went to a therapeutic community that diagnosed me with HIV, and you know, I wasn't surprised with the diagnosis because I knew how I rolled. And the end of addiction for me had me in such a homeless state where I really felt like, for real, I was probably going to be found dead in an alley in the D.C. metropolitan area. Because I like to jump in and out of cars with strangers and trick in abandoned buildings and in parks and just live a real wretched sort of lifestyle. So I wasn't surprised, you know, when they got the diagnosis. But that thing said, well, girl, ain't no need in getting clean now. You know, because HIV back then was ugly, and there really wasn't no hope. So you talking about somebody that's already hopeless, getting a more hopeless hit. You know, but I went to treatment and I played the game. You know, and I held on to that, y'all. And I just programmed real good. Because I'm real chameleon-like. I know how to get in where I fit in and say what I need to say to get what I need done. I know how to lie and manipulate. The bottom line. So, and I ended up lying and manipulating my way right back out to having a stem in my mouth again. So the last time I used was August the 15th, 1990. And I tricked with a guy for $5 and it hit. And I always share that because I need to hear it. And in case if there's any woman in here that may have hit an ugly low, baby, it's okay. Because your low does not dictate your present or your future. And it can die when you let it. You know, so, you know, God loved me enough to cover me through all of that insanity, through the rapes and the abuse and all of that. He didn't let them jokers take my life. And when I called out on him that day, he was like, Johnny on the spot. And all I did, standing out on the corner, 5th and K Street Northwest, was say, God, please help me. And from that day to this, he very lovingly and strategically have put who and what I need in my life to help me to recover one day at a time. But what I did most importantly on August 15th, 1990, was accept the first step. Because the first step tells me that I'm powerless and I'm unmanageable. Now, I don't know about nobody else. I could cop to being unmanageable. But that powerless piece, just a real sucker kind of word. And in my own mind, I was thorough. And I handled mine. And I took my knocks. And I handled it like a soldier. But for real, narcotic made a punk out of me. And when it comes to comparing the two, it is so much bigger than me. So I said, God, please help me. And I accepted the first step. And what it means to me is, Joaquina, when you do one, you might do anything. And you don't do anything that's conducive to a healthy lifestyle. You go into this very animalistic type of existence. And accepting that first step gave me the power to stop trying to find a way to use safely and come in here and let y'all show me one day at a time how to live. Now, me with my good accepting first step self, somewhere about 90 days, I decide that I'm going to make an amends to a guy that I slept with and didn't tell him that I was positive. Because when I first walked in the door, I did not have the integrity, the honesty, or the courage necessary to stand up and disclose that. Definitely not in a meeting and not even on a one-on-one. So I heard y'all talk about making an amends. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make amends to this dude because that was foul. And I told him, and needless to say, he was upset. And I said something real foul and ignorant and sick out of my mouth. Like, well, dude, you knew I was a newcomer. You ain't had no business sleeping with me anyway. And for real, I'm grateful that that man didn't go upside of my head. But the step tells us there's a process in getting to that place, first of all. Second of all, it's not supposed to be about you, Joaquina. It's supposed to be about righting a wrong. And I was out of order. And I was nowhere near ready to do that because what I was really trying to do was absolve some guilt. And it clearly states it's not about you getting guilt up off of you. You know, because that's selfish. So I kept coming back and I heard y'all talk about, you know, a godly understanding and coming to believe in these sorts of things and being raised as a Christian. You know, I heard about God and played church because church was mandatory in my family. So y'all said, come to believe in a power that's greater than you and a power for real that was greater than me. When I got here was you all. It wasn't God. Even though I heard about God in my home, because of all the ugliness that had occurred, I ain't quite understand. So something didn't fit. So y'all told me, Joaquina, create the power that you needed. But it was you all, because you were tangible. And y'all hugged me and loved on me and took me to conventions and took me to meetings and took me into your homes. And when you held me, I felt that thing, man. And it was something about your spirits and your glow that kept me coming back. And you guys were the power that were greater than me. And I kept coming back. And then I realized that God was always there. That He loved me enough to keep me alive. And then when I was ready, He was Johnny on the spot. Because He's a God of self-will. You know, so my life started getting better. And I started seeing the manifestation of that power greater than me working in my life. So I'm continuing to come back, and life's getting better, and now I got to make a decision, you know, to get some help, to get out of the driver's seat, which is a struggle for me, y'all, because when I was 16 and I started running away, I said, I'm grown, and I'm going to do what I want to do, and don't nobody really care anyway, you know, so I started making a lot of decisions that were based on strictly how I feel. And I didn't trust anybody, because those that were in a position of trust in my life earlier all crossed me. So now y'all tell me, you got to make a decision, turn your will of life over. Now I told y'all are the power, you know. And then I start to see God working in my life, you know. And I'm going on and life is getting better. But I still got some hurt and some things going on. You know, I'm still making some jacked up decisions clean. You know, so I get these emotional body shots, and then I decide I don't want to hurt like that clean. You know, so Joaquina, maybe then you need to get some help. Because the bottom line is, if your thinking was all of that in the first place, you never would have got here. Because people that have it going on don't end up in jail. And don't end up in places where you can't have shoestrings and razor blades. You know what I mean? They just don't. So obviously you need to make a decision to turn your will and your life over to something greater than you. And what's your will in your life? Joaquina, your thinking and your behavior. So I'm continuing to come back. And now y'all tell me that I got to look at me. But now them emotional body shots that I got right there at that three thing really make me willing, because I'm hurting and I don't get it, because now I got everything in my little limited mind tell me that I need to be happy and fulfilled. So what's going on? What's going on, boo? It's now it's time for you to go back and look at that stuff that had you self-destructing in the first place. You know, when you put on that first pair of tight jeans that had that McDonald's used to have a slogan for Big Mac. Two or be patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, on sesame seed bun. I had an iron on. I ironed it right on the back of my jeans. These two little dudes followed me around school all day the next day. And I ain't take off my tight jeans for years. And I thought it was just because I look good in them. But it was something that they were feeding. I need validation. I don't feel good about me, so I need you to tell me that I'm good. I need you to tell me I got it going on, because I don't feel like it. You know, so now I got to look at some stuff. And then in five, I got to let some stuff go. You know, I got to admit it to God and to myself and to another human being. And I did my fifth step actually with my therapist. And not because anything was wrong with my relationship with my sponsor. She acknowledged that when I went to therapy after those third step body shots and I started working with that therapist, we had started on my fourth step process. And she was confident enough in our relationship to know that it would not be a slight to our relationship for me to continue into my fifth step process with my therapist. So I learned some things. You know, I learned that procrastination is like a comfortable pair of pumps to me. I know that I'm selfish and I came in with a lot of guilt and shame and stuff, but I want that removed right away. You know, I can go to 7 with that, but procrastination, that ain't really harming nobody. It'll get better. You know, so I ask God to remove the shame and the guilt. You know, because I want to be able to live free. And the thing is, y'all, when we talk about freedom in here, it ain't just freedom from drugs. It's freedom from a whole bunch of stuff that's kept me bound and heavy. You know, so now I've done some house cleaning. And I get to a place where I recognize that I've harmed. Now, the literature says that you can, if you're not sure who to put on your list, go to your 4 step. And what was interesting for me, I remember looking at those steps when I was in treatment. And I remember seeing that 8 step. And it was like, I ain't harmed nobody but my son. But needless to say, by the time I got there, those that I felt harmed me for real, because I came in here huge victim, I had harmed. You know, and more importantly, I wanted to make some things right. So the denial, you know, and the selfishness, a lot of that stuff was stripped from me through that 1-7 process. So now I got a son that I've abandoned along the way. I left him when he was 3, and I got back in his life when he was 9. And I thank God for the women in my life, because all my life it was all about the outside. How you loved me was contingent on what you did for me. It was always about the outside. So when I started getting back into his life, you know, and of course I went through the, baby, I'm sorry I left you, but it tells us that the amends ain't about saying I'm sorry. It's about correcting some things and treating people appropriately and not practicing that same old behavior. You know, so I had to put my son on the list for leaving him. I had to put the baby's daddy on the list. Even though I left dude because I felt like dude wasn't treating me right. But I put a heck of a responsibility on him when I left. Because I took the punk way out for real. That man went to work one day, y'all, and I just packed a bag and rolled. Just left. My mama, who abused me physically, emotionally, and sexually, I had to put her on the list. Because even though all of that occurred, I still caused harm to her. Because when I was up in the crack house and I was going through cocaine paranoia and I felt like niggas was coming up in there to kill me, and I called her to come and get me because they was going to kill me, doggone if she wasn't at the door with Metropolitan Police a few minutes later. When I was over at Potomac Gardens and I called her because, again, now I'm tripping. I done been up for days. And I'm geeked out and I'm scared, and I call her and she come. That's harm to her. Because she don't know when she going to get the call. That says, come identify her body. My father, then left. Materially, he was good. He did the best that he could. But I resented him for not being there the way that I wanted him to. I had to put him on the list because I stole from him. And he never said nothing about it. And if you don't say nothing about the way I wronged you, then I feel like it's all right. But maybe he ain't say nothing because, for real, he ain't know how to deal with that himself. The bottom line, why can't it you cause harm? The Department of Education. And my student loan. Put them on the list. Even though my head says, girl, please, they don't need that little bit of money you owe them. But if you want credit, you better put them on the list. and then see them in nine and take care of that. And that's just a few. So now this son thing, I'm in my son's life and I'm showing up and I'm buying him stuff and I'm going broke and I'm like, baby, I'm there and I'm never leaving you again and stuff. And this kid ain't reacting to me. He ain't getting it. He ain't reacting to me the way that I think he should be. Don't you know I ain't going nowhere? I said I'm here to stay. What the problem is? You know, and I'm putting more and more money into it because that's what I equate with love, because that's what I got. Buy me stuff. That's how much you love me. And he ain't getting it. And finally, thank God for the women in my life to say, Joaquina, don't go broke. All he wants is you. Spend time with him. You know, and more importantly, respect his process. But the bottom line is, honestly, my heart was really not in what I said I was trying to do. Because I really didn't want to be a mama. And I was ashamed, for real, to tell y'all. Because what kind of mama don't want to be a mama? But whenever you go to making amends with somebody, if your heart and your spirit and your motives aren't right, it will avail you nothing. So I'm going on and it's getting better. It's like, okay, I'm going to spend time with him and I'm going to respect this process. Now my son is 32 years old. And wants nothing to do with me. And I call him and send him text messages. And I'm vacillating. I'm going back and forth between being resentful and accepting him. Being angry and accepting him. You know, when the reality is, Joaquina, all of that outreaching that you're doing, who are you really doing it for and why are you doing it? Is it really about him? And making an amends and righting a wrong? Or is it because you're trying to make him accept you and have a relationship with you? Where are your motives at, boo? And with my mother, how do you reconcile a relationship with someone that's abused and hurt you? Because by now, I have to forgive. I have to let go. I have to love. But going through there and finding out, you know, that I still got some work to be done in that area. Because there's still something in me that's a little hurt, that's a little bruised. And when you say something to hurt me, that little girl raises up and want to let you know, I'm not that little girl anymore. You can't hurt me. So I'm trying to reconcile a mother-daughter relationship with you and have a good relationship with you. And you tell me your birthday come around and all you want to do is go to the Great American Steakhouse Buffet. But I want to take you to the Palm because that's what I want to do for you. What are your motives, Joaquina? Is that about you or is that about her? So what I have found out in the past couple of 2 years, and I use those relationships, family, because those have been the most trying relationships that I've had with my mother and my son. And what I found is that I still got some more work that I got to do. Because this step tells me that it's supposed to be selfless. It's not supposed to be about you, Joaquina. It's supposed to be about them. It's supposed to be about changing your behavior. You got to get your heart right. Find out where your forgiveness level and your acceptance is. So there's some spiritual principles that are involved. Because one thing about family, and especially your closest family, you can't just say, I'm sorry, and move on. It's continuous. So I'm continually trying to reconcile and be the best person that I can in this relationship. Man, and some days, y'all, like, sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I don't. But I know if I keep coming in here, and I do have a desire to be better. I do have a desire to be more selfless. If I keep coming in here and I continue with the desire and keep trying to do the next right thing for the next right reason, it's going to get better. And as long as I don't cop, it's going to be all right. And thanks for letting me share.